All right, we'll start at the chapter 16 of John. In America, the word overcome brings an immediate connection to Martin Luther King Jr. and his famous March on Washington in August 26, 1963, where he delivered that famous speech, "I Have a Dream." And of course, you guys know the old hippie song, "We Shall Overcome," right? Against all odds, against everyone's belief, a person can overcome what he faces and comes out as a victor. To him, we applaud his determination, tenacity, and vigor. We call that person what? Overcomer. Indeed, when it comes to civil rights, Martin Luther King Jr. is the overcomer. Though it was important that it was only limited physical and political arena. But what about the spiritual area? That is far more important than the other two. Jesus wants us to overcome this world because he did. He made an example. And you may say, well, because he's God. Remember, Jesus did everything as a human. I will say it again and again. His divinity was contained within humanity. You cannot say, well, he could do it because he's God. Yes, he's God, but he was human. Don't forget it. Actually, he wants us to be more than overcomers. He wants us to have overcoming joy. He wants us to have the overcoming joy as he's overcomers. And because we are with him. And you may say, well, you don't know my circumstance. I don't. I don't envy to have that circumstance. We all have a different circumstance, don't we? You may say, well, my situation is really horrible. Probably so. But everybody has their own Goliath. You cannot compare one person's Goliath against another person's Goliath and say, I cannot overcome it. According to my Bible, it says, I can do all things, what? Because I'm cool, right? No, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm not depending on my own strength, but I'm depending on God's strength. To him, nothing is impossible. Am I correct? So you cannot really argue with me in that thing. Well, actually, you can argue with me all you want, but you cannot argue with the Word of God, which is the truth. So let's learn from the Master who overcame the world and death and rose again. Let's stop and pray. Father, we are the overcomers, not because we have done anything worthwhile, because you empower us. You anoint us. You strengthen us. Father, we realize that we have nothing to show for, but we know that you are the one who provides what we need, what we can do. Father, you go with us, strengthen our feet and strengthen our hands. And most of all, you plant your word in our heart that we might be able to do what you want us to do. Let us do all things for the glory of God. We love you. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit be upon us for us to understand your truth. And your Holy Spirit be upon the one who speaks, that he may speak only your truth, not his own opinion. Father, we also pray for President Trump and all the leaders in this country. Father, let them do what is right in your sight. Let them turn their heart over to you and surrender to you so they may come to know Christ. Father, we pray for our troops, our law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Wherever they are, you protect them. If they are far away from their home, especially during this holiday season, you keep them safe and you bring them back to their families and their friends. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 16 of John, in verse 16, please. Chapter 16, verse 16. Jesus speaking, "A little while you will not see me, and a little while you will see me." Bless you. If you don't know the Word of God, if you are not born again Christian, it's like a, what? You say you don't see me, but I will see you later? Because I go to the Father. Verse 17. "Then some of his disciples said among themselves, 'What is this that he says to us, a little while you will not see me again, a little while you will see me, because I go to the Father.' They said, therefore, 'What is this that he says, a little while?' We do not know what he is saying." Stop there, please. Have you ever had a day, and you're thinking, because of things happened to you, and you're thinking, "I should stay in bed." And you guys know that, how that felt? That everything you try to do, that wants to do, goes south. It's like, it's better to stay in bed than just to going through this. I wouldn't be one bit surprised if the disciples of Jesus Christ were kind of feeling this way. Why? Because their master, whom they've been following all this time, his comment went from persecution for him and his disciples, the followers, and to his own arrest and torture. And then he said, "Oh, by the way, after the torture, they're going to hang me on the cross." Execution? Yeah, exactly. And they're thinking, this is not what I signed up for. For a good measure, he told them that when that happened, you will all desert me. So they're thinking, this going from bad to worse, and then we just went to the worst. Of course, they largely chose to ignore what he said afterward, "I will rise up from the grave in 3 days." They forgot, conveniently forgot that portion. Jesus' main desire for them here was to give them hope, to lift their eyes from the immediate rocky future to the glory of his impending departure. But they simply did not understand what he was saying. So patiently he acknowledged their confusion and continues to encourage them by giving them something they could grasp. So he continued in verse 19, please. "Now, Jesus knew that they desired to ask him. He said to them, 'Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said, a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me? Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, and your sorrow will be turned into" what? Joy. "A woman, then she is in labor, has a sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have a sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." The disciples did not make it easy on themselves either. Instead of asking Jesus, "Okay, we don't get it, so would you explain to us?" Remember when you were in high school or junior high school, you were trying to be cool. You don't want to raise your hand. That's only teacher's pet would do that kind of stupid thing, right? So you want to sit like this in back of the class, trying to look cool, and when the teacher asks you, "Did you get it?" And you have no idea. While you're nodding your head, the thing inside of your head is dangling inside, making noise, and you don't get any sense in your head. But you're too cool to ask, so you ask your friend, who also nodding his head, but he has no idea. You know, when we have a problem with issues, shouldn't we ask who knows all things? But what do? We trying to exchange an opinion. We trying to consult with somebody who also have the same mentality like we do, same intelligence limit like we do. How about next time when you have a problem, consulting the one who has a final authority? What a concept, right? See, while the immediate impression of disciple may have been deep sorrow and confusion, the ultimate application is for all the people, all the God's people, and as they wait the coming of the Jesus Christ in the rapture. To us, it seems like a long way, but the Lord does not measure the time the way we do. And you may say, well, what are you talking about? 2 Peter chapter 3, please. 2 Peter chapter 3. Way in the back. Right after James. No, right after 1 Peter. Duh. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, please. But beloved, do not forget this one thing. With the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and thousand years as one day. We look at the timing, and we only have 24 hours in a day. We only have 1,440 minutes in a day. And we are thinking everything according to that timeline. But the Lord is above our timeline. That's why Jesus is the same as yesterday, today, what? And forever. He sees all things. Whatever we are trying to do, He sees whether it's good or bad, so He will tell us if we listen. We cannot mature emotionally. This is very important. We cannot mature emotionally or spiritually if someone always pamper us. Jesus loves us enough to allow us to go through the pain of transformation, not pampering us with a shallow substitution. The way of substitution of solving the problem is the way of immaturity. But the way of transformation is the way of faith and maturity. Are you with me on that? Did I tell you I have a grandson? A few times, right? I have a 2 years old. One is youngest one. He's in that terrible two mode. His emotion goes from wonderful, laughing, giggling. His laughing is so contagious. And then next moment, literally next moment, he cries, the big crocodile tears coming down from his big eyes. And then if I do something, he starts to laugh again. And whenever he's in that terrible mood, I just switch the subject. I substitute his sadness, whatever the sadness, with something funny. I tickle him or I bounce him, and then he said, do it again. And all of a sudden, he forgot about what he was sad about. And while I'm bouncing him and tickling him, I was thinking, this is so much like us. Our emotion runs from one end to another end without even stopping anywhere. Let me put it this way. Let's say there is somebody named Charlie, not Charles. We always pick on a guy named Charlie. I know nobody's in here in the Charlie. Right? Charlie can be in great mood because everything is going well. He just had a meeting. He's a salesperson. He just sold $1 million deal before even lunch. And he had to go through some medical checkup. So he was in a sky-high mode. And then he went to the doctor. He did some physical test, and then the doctor said with that C word. And he said, you're on stage 3. Guess where his emotion is? On the bottom. He was riding sky-high, and all of a sudden he's on the rock bottom. What happened? Because he's looking at the things from the horizontal view. I get to meet people. Being a pastor, I get to be in the front row of the people's emotion. And when I listen to the people, I hear from, I am so angry and blah, 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 blah. And I hold the telephone like this because I can hear them from this distance. And then another person say, I have a cancer. Doctor told me. I'm going to leave everything in the hands of God. Then I put the telephone close to my head. And where is this person coming from? Because that person has a closer relationship with Jesus Christ, the other person who goes up and down. I'm not making fun of the other person. But I have to look at myself. Where do I go? Am I going like this? Or am I going like this? If I trust in the Lord who knows all things, the wavelength will be much smoother. Are you with me? I haven't seen anybody going like this. If that person is like this, probably you should teach. Let me repeat one more time. The way of substitution for solving the problem is the way of immaturity. But the way of a transformation is the way of faith. Jesus did not say the mother's sorrow of birth pain subdued by joy. Rather, sorrow of pain was transformed into sheer joy of a newborn baby. The same baby caused so much pain in delivery, also caused such joy afterward. Ladies, you know that time, right? When you were carrying the basketball on your tummy for the last 9 months, you couldn't even sleep on your tummy for all that time. And you had an excruciating pain, which I have no idea. I don't care to know about it. Thank you very much. And afterward, you don't remember the pain. It's a good thing that the ladies don't remember the pain. Otherwise, it would be only child and firstborn and period, right? Humankind will be end. He transformed the trials into triumph, in sorrow into joy. Amen? Psalm 30, please. Psalm 30, verse 5. We bought that clock about a year ago from eBay. Guess what? It's pretty much dying. Psalm 30. Maybe there is a reason why we should not buy some of the product coming from China. Huh? No. I have the watch you gave it to me, the Obama watch. Weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy comes in the morning. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 23, please. This is the fifth book. Bless you. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 5. 23, verse 5. Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen. Is that the right one? Oh, the second half. Sorry. But the Lord your God turned curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God, what? Say it again. God loves you. What a concept, isn't it? How much he loves you? While we're still sinners, he loves us. Jesus took the cross, a symbol of defeat and shame, and transformed into a symbol of victory and glory. Go back to verse 20 of chapter 16, please. John 16, 20. Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. The world today does not want Jesus Christ or his church because it reminds them their sins. The world is rejoicing while Christians are suffering. But we have eternal hope in Christ, and that tells us we are on the winning side with him, not the losing one like the unbelievers. Never say that. I'm sure we've seen that the bumper sticker says, God is my co-pilot. I said this, I will say it again. God ain't your co-pilot. He is your pilot. And you are his luggage. You're just getting a ride for free. So if you have that bumper sticker, you're parked in the parking lot either side, maybe before anybody sees me, peel it off or scratch that CEO portion. Don't try to manage you or lead your own life. Let him handle it. All right, verse 23, please. And in that day you will, note the word, ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you, there's another word, ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Verse 24, until now you have asked nothing in my name, And here's again, ask, you will receive that your joy may be full. It's important to note that the original Greek text used two different words of ask, although we use the same English word. The first word ask in verse 23 is eroteo, in Greek, which means to ask a question or request. But the second word mentioned in verse 23, whatever you ask the Father, that one is aitero in Greek, which means to pray or request something of a superior. Jesus never used the word aitero when he prayed. He used erotao because he is equal with the Father. Do you understand? In our English, you cannot get the special meaning out of that. One of the many reasons we should pray is that if it is God's anointed way of giving things, we need in our lives. There are things God wants to give to you. And He may want you to say to Him, and guess what? You may not have it because you didn't ask for it. And then you say, well, I asked for everything, including Corvette. Maybe it's not in God's will for you to have a Corvette, because if you have a Corvette like me, we will flow that pedal to the metal and get the traffic ticket every other day, or maybe every day. I'm not saying that God always gives us everything we ask for, but He will take care of people's requests according to His infinite wisdom. You can ask all you want, but the best way to ask is God's will be done. And what if there were something that God wants you to do, God wanted to do, but it has not been happened because you simply have not prayed about it? Maybe He will say no. What if He says yes? What do you have to lose, right? That's why we need to pray. Listen, prayer is a privilege of the believers of Jesus Christ. Don't think it is mandatory obligation. Prayer is a privilege. Consider you have an opportunity to go to see the President Trump in the White House. Would you be excited? I would. And if I get to ask, if he says, name it, what would I ask? I have a lot of imagination. So I thought about this. If God says what He says to Solomon, name it, I will give it to you. Anything you want. I thought about it, all the things that I wanted, and I settled with one thing. I want to be just like you. You know why? Because He did everything what God the Father wanted. I don't think I can top all the requests I have in mind with one request. I want to do what Father wants. I want to please Him. Verse 25, please. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language, but the time is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figurative language, but I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, I will ask in my name, and I do not say to you, I shall pray the Father for you. For the Father Himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. I came forth from the Father and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world, go to the Father. While Jesus was with His disciples, He took care of all their needs. Now that He is departing from them to heaven, He instructs them and us to pray to the Father in heaven, in His name. Contrary to some charismatic denomination pastors like Benny Hinn, he actually said this. I have a book too, when I did not know any better. It was like a couple of years after I got saved. He taught his followers that you should pray to the Holy Spirit. Did you get it? You should pray to the Holy Spirit. against the word of God. Jesus told us to pray to the Father in His name. But here's a man who said, no, you should pray to the Holy Spirit. While we pray, Jesus, who is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, He intercedes for us, and the Holy Spirit, who is in every single born-again believer's heart, dispense His gift or provide what we need according to the will of God the Father. That is the love of God in action. Are you with me on that? This is a good place for you to say amen. While Jesus ministered as our high priest in heaven, making intercession for us, He would also minister as our advocate. As our high priest, He gives us grace to keep us from sinning. As our advocate, He restores us when we confess our sins. His ministry in heaven makes possible our ministry of witness on earth and through the power of the Holy Spirit. You guys are following this? Don't do what you did in high school. Oh yeah, I get it. I don't get it. Verse 29. His disciples said to Him, that, see, now you are speaking plainly and using no figure of speech. Now we are sure that you know all things and have no need that anyone should question you. By this we believe that you came forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you not believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come. And you will be scattered, here is, each to his own, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that, underline, circle, highlight, in me. Did you get that? In who?
Me.
No, in Jesus Christ. In me, yes. In Jesus Christ. You may what? If you are in Jesus Christ, even if your circumstance is the most horrible situation, you will have peace. That's a promise of God. You test Him, He will give you that peace past all understanding. I'm not saying that He will take you out of that situation, but He will give you peace. Go back there, please. You may have a peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of a good cheer. He's from the England side. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The disciples are finally getting. How long did it last? Not very long. Although Jesus knew their weakness, He approved their growing evidence in faith and assured them His promise and encouragement. Is it possible, folks, let me ask you, is it possible to have knowledge and assurance of God and still fail our Lord? As long as we have this carnal, sinful nature, we will. But we can strive to continue in faith and apply the knowledge we receive from the Lord through the Word of God in our lives and rest on the assurance and peace of God. Maybe you feel as though you are in a rut. Maybe you are discouraged. Maybe you are going through that storm in your life. I don't know where you are, but you can have that peace in no matter what kind of situation you are in. You find peace where? In Christ. Where? In Christ. Where? You cannot find peace in this world. I normally laugh at person who have this bumper sticker. Visualize world peace. Yeah, sure. That'll go a long way. When I was a South Korean army soldier, we learned to read the map. And with a compass, that's before the GPS. And when we were reading a map at night, we had to find one location, no stop. During the daytime, where is the south? Where is the north? Mark the one distinctive mountain, because you can see them, or distance, whatever. landmark, you look at it, and you use that, the unchangeable marking, and you use that for your own guidance. Spiritually, you use unchangeable marking, solid rock, that is Jesus. Am I making sense to you? The source of our disciples' peace was not in the world, but in me. Our source of peace and hope should not be in the world, not in our checkbook, not in our bank account, not in stock portfolio, or gold or silver, but in Jesus Christ, who is our God and Savior. Listen to me, please. Joy of the Lord has nothing to do with happiness, which is but a momentary emotion. I told you about my grandson who goes from one end to the other end. A lot of times we act that way. But when you have a joy in the Lord, we find the strength to go on against all odds, against everyone's belief. How? Because the joy of the Lord is what? Is what? Exactly. Go to Nehemiah chapter 8, please. Nehemiah, right before Esther. Chapter 8, verse 10. We're in the back. Back up to chapter 10, verse 10. Do not sorrow. Say with me, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's right. Every believer is either overcome or overcomer. Every believer is either overcome or overcomer. The world wants to overcome us. That is why Satan used the world to persecute us and pressure us. The world wants us to conform into them and does not want us to be different. But when we yield ourselves to Christ and trust Him, He enabled us to be what? Overcomers. We must claim our spiritual position in Christ and believe Him for victory. God has kept no secret about this life. He told us that we will, not maybe, we will go through tribulation. But He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So be alert and don't be alarmed. Satan is loose for a season. That season is brief. He knows that his time is short. According to Revelation 12:12, he is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Just a few more turns in the road and Satan's end will come. But we have a new beginning with the Lord Jesus. Without Satan, without sickness, without tear, without darkness. Three applications. Number one. The way of transformation in Christ is the way of faith and maturity. Second application. Prayer to the Lord is a privilege of the believers of Jesus Christ. Exercise your privilege daily, not just when you want something. Third application. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. Don't let the world get under your skin. Keep your faith in Him and be obedient in His commandment. Don't be like my 2-year-old grandson who goes from one end to another end. When you have peace, when you are in Christ, you have a peace in Him. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand up and pray.